Imagine knowing exactly what your students are learning and exactly which steps you need to take next.
Join us in Download the Reading Quiz to craft meaningful and productive formative assessments that move away from gotcha moments of basic recall and toward assessing what your students actually can do.
In this 30-minute free masterclass, we'll share three powerful assessment keys that work for any novel at any time of the year.
Head to shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to sign up, and we'll also send you a free workbook to keep track of all your notes.
Once again, that's shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to nail formative assessments forever.
Well, hello, and welcome back to Brave New Teaching, and welcome to Women's History Month. Hello, friends. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Marie. Hi, everyone listening. Welcome to March.
Welcome to March. I just started to put on my NPR voice for a moment for Women's History Month this March. I'm excited because we have such a mixed bag of just like things that we can talk about. This is going to be a part of our Diverse Voices series that has spanned since the very beginning of the podcast. We started talking about diverse voices in just all different planes of diversity, really. And we are loving that we keep bringing this back and continuing. Sometimes we have like a special download or something that goes along with it. Today, we just have a big old mixed bag list of texts that we are loving for including the voices of women in our classrooms. Like, that's what we've got for you. So make sure like that if you are driving or like running or something while you're listening to this, that you go to the show notes so you can get the list of everything that we've got for you. And if you're not already on our email list, I would get on our email list because we also like email links to the show notes out so you don't even have to go look for them. It's going to be a good list of, oh yeah, I remember that one, or oh yeah, oh, I've never thought of that one in my classroom. That's what we have for you today, and we're excited about it.
And as we say with all of our diverse voices, and whenever we celebrate a cultural heritage history month, we are absolutely doing this work all year round. And we still think, though, it's really powerful to pause and have some intentionality behind looking at what is being celebrated that month. And so for us, it's not only women's voices, but I think especially in this episode, it's going to also be about women's issues and the problems that, and women's issues are everyone's issues, right? Like, let's make that abundantly clear for all of our students and everyone listening, right? Like, that's really what we want to give you is multiple access points to have these conversations. So we've got poetry, speeches, film, TED Talks, you name it, and we've got it. So this is a good one to bookmark, favorite, share with a friend. I just want to start. Can we start?
Yes, let's get started and just go for it. Cue the music.
You're listening to Brave New Teaching, and we are so much more than a podcast.
We give teachers the inspiration, support, and tools to challenge the status quo.
I'm Amanda, and I'm a former English teacher from Illinois.
And I'm Marie, and I'm a teacher from Southern California.
Join us at bravenewteaching.com to find out more about our courses, festivals, and get every episode's show notes.
We're so glad you're here. Enjoy the show. All right, friends. When I said mixed bag in the intro, I was not kidding. It is, we are all over the place when it comes to genres, through time, parts of the world. Really, like Amanda said, it's not just women's voices, but also issues. One thing that I wish I had included and will try to include in the show notes is some more of our trans women in the community of just, when we say women, we mean everybody who identifies as female and everybody who is a woman, right? Like, that is who we are talking about, including those voices in our classrooms to make sure that our students have just exposure to a wide array of perspectives on all sorts of different topics as well. So it's not just diverse voices, it's diverse topics. Amanda, do you want to start us off with, because you've got like some ancient Greek here. Let's get into it. Yeah.
So this is cool. This is food for thought that maybe you don't need it for March, but maybe you just need it for a different way of entering this particular unit. So I think I've said it before on the podcast, but a quick little fun fact about Amanda is I was just a hair away from becoming a Greek and Roman studies minor.
I did not know that.
Well, lots of people said, why?
Okay.
I was effectively talked out of it. And I was also reminded, like, you can enjoy our Greek and Roman studies program at the university without having to minor in it. And like, that was actually really, really good advice, because a minor would have been a lot of coursework in something that was just like, it was kind of a hobby and fun for me. I found all types of mythology fascinating. I've done units on Aztec and Mayan and Incan mythology. I mean, you name it, like, I'm all over the world. But I really do think that early stories are some of the most interesting ones.
Yeah.
And so,
I also think it's really interesting to see how they have not just continued through the stories we continue to tell, but that they have like echoed even in like history. It's,
yes.
I think it's fascinating. Yes.
And I think, I don't know if all of our listeners know, but my daughter is actually named after an Aztec goddess. Xochitl, X-O-C-H-I-T-L is how you spell her name. And she's actually the goddess of war and flowers. So she is both feminine and a badass.
And fierce. Yes.
And
we love it.
Ferocious. And goddess, the Xochitl goddess was famously known. Well, there's lots of legends about her, of course, but known to be the first commander of an all-woman army. And they were victorious many times, but yeah, also known for like everything she touched turned to flowers too. So very like Isabella and Canto, like let's feel that, mm-hmm. but also like, we're going to start a war. So that, and that is my daughter, which is really funny. And she looks a lot like me. So she looks very Anglo, but has a very dark, like she's got the personality of what her name stands for.
Just
not
the features.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Not the features. Yes. So all that is to say is I think that's probably more helpful for me to recommend some Greek and Roman stuff, because it's probably what your coursework looks like more at your school. And if you teach things like the Odyssey or you teach Greek mythology of some sort, doing so, there's not a lot of models out there for doing it other than kind of a men first model. So I would love to talk about doing this through a feminine lens and really looking at some of the roles of female goddesses first. Don't start with Zeus. Don't start with, you know, like all of the men. Start with some of the women. They're so interesting. I have a great article. It's called The Tragedy of Greek Goddesses. It's all about their roles and the works that they did in that world. And then there's also some really cool poetry and short stories. One of my favorites is the story of Persephone. Like, her story is amazing. And there's a poet, her name is Emily Rose Cole, and she's written a poem called Persephone Returns. And it's really gorgeous. I'm going to read you a little tiny bit because it's very short. But like, the end says this: what did I expect? To leave a hemorrhage of violets wherever I walked? No, a lost son is called prodigal. A lost daughter is just called lost. She has several different female goddesses that she's written these kind of adaptive poems about. And it's really, really beautiful. Margaret Atwood, another ferocious, amazing female, has written, there's a story called The Penelopeiad. And it is mm-hmm. the story of Penelope at home waiting for Odysseus to return. Because, of course, we don't hear her story. We only hear Odysseus's nonsense through, you know, a bajillion years circling the world, trying so hard to come home with all that urgency. So I think it would be really, really cool to take up some of the female stories and start in that way. And of course, I would also recommend looking at the legend of sirens. Sirens are a great allusion for students to see, that they'll see siren mythology throughout their coursework in middle, high, and college and pop culture. We talk about sirens and siren songs. It's another cool female start to that conversation.
I love that.
Are you taking notes?
You know what I'm doing is I'm looking up different speeches that have like references to, I just went down a rabbit hole while Amanda was talking. I'm like listening and nodding and like doing things like an idiot.
Well, but no, but I think that's exactly the point where like Greek mythology is good for teaching illusion because it is going to come up again.
Right. Yes.
Rah-hoo! Okay. Woo-hoo! Give me some more of your goodies. Okay.
What I have is a handful of speeches, and they're all within a choice board that I have created for my American literature class, where we are looking at rhetorical analysis, and then we are doing a whole compare and contrast between, this is within the Shakespeare Caesar, like great leaders unit. If you follow me on Instagram, or if you remember me talking about this earlier on the podcast, earlier this school year on the podcast, I'm back at it here because I've got a whole new batch of kids. So I'm doing this again, and I have revamped my adaptation of Amanda's Julius Caesar unit, where what we are doing is we are taking one solid monologue, like speech argument from each act. And then students have a choice board of speeches that they are comparing and contrasting the Shakespeare, the Caesar one, right up against. And so I am really proud of some of the speeches that I have in here. I did a very thorough work of making sure that I was getting as varied as possible throughout time, throughout perspectives, political leaders, social leaders, etc. And so some of the names, I'll share a few of my names and then we can go to some of yours and we can come back to some of my others because I feel it. I mean, this is what I have. It's just like a thing of speeches. One of the best speeches that we have. Well, no, it's not even one of the ones I will say that was surprising students by how polarizing the name is now and yet how incredible this speech is that students were surprised they don't hear more about it was Hillary Clinton's address to the UN. And I'm clicking on it to make sure that I get the year correct. It's 1995. So it's right within like President Clinton years, her husband. But she spoke at the United Nations Fourth World Conference on Women. And so watching my students read and watch this speech, they were like, oh, and I think a few of them clicked on it with a snicker, you know, of like, oh yeah, let's watch Hillary Clinton, simply because that wherever they are from and whatever their context is, Hillary Clinton's name has become polarizing in the last however many years. And so going through that and watching them go, oh, she's talking about like human rights and healthcare and things that they, you know, she didn't mention right. Anything that our current students know her for, she was looking at like true issues that she was only speaking to at the time. Anyways, I'm mumbling a bit and jumbling this up, but I loved watching it open their eyes. And we just did this like a couple weeks ago. This is actually a speech that I got from Common Lit, if you use commonlit.org. And the Common Lit activity leads students through different appeals, through parallelism, through repetition. And then I was able to like plug that into my activity. Another of the speeches that I found students really reacting to in my little choice board list of speeches here is Gloria Steinem's testimony before the Senate about the Equal Rights Act. Because very few of my students knew who Gloria Steinem was. Yeah. And that's just the reality of time moving really fast and their access to information doesn't mean that they know more information. It just kind of means that they know a little bit less. So,
I think you're breaking, Maria, you're breaking that echo chamber, right? And I think that's kind of what we were talking about at the top of the episode. When we set aside time to do a Heritage Month or a History Month, it's not about isolating these people and saying you only deserve the attention here. It's really about intentionally breaking that echo chamber and like even like just evaluating like, right, what's around me? Like, what do I have exposure to and what have I interacted with? And does it include this voice? I think that goes for us in lesson planning and it goes for students in, right, what they're learning.
Well, and just allowing themselves to be surprised and not just cast something aside because they already know everything. I mean, they're teenagers, so they obviously already know everything there is to know before walking into the room. So that's already like the hurdle that we have to jump. So I was just pleased and proud of them to watch them like allow their minds to open. Yes. And that's why we do this. That's why we celebrate diverse voices from all different intersections of identity to help students see beyond their own veil, right?
Well, and I love, so between, so I've talked today about, right, looking at mythology and culture and origin stories and creation stories, and those, that's kind of where all the mythology comes from, the storytelling aspect and looking at women's roles in stories that explain things. That to me is so interesting. And what's interesting mm-hmm. for you about doing rhetorical analysis is that when we do RA, the speaker is such a vital component of that rhetorical triangle. And mm-hmm. thinking about the speaker as a woman is different. Sometimes kids just, they just want things to be simple and they just want the speaker to be a person. But especially with the content of these speeches that you've described, it's very important to recognize that woman, her voice in the context of the year that she's delivering it, in the context of the political climate that she's delivering her speech, the audience, like when a woman's speaking to another woman, it's one thing. When a woman's speaking to a man, it's another thing. When it's a certain decade, it's another thing, right? Like mm-hmm. all of that is part of a really important and organic conversation. So I love that those, and I love that you have it on a choice board.
It is cool. Yeah. And the way that I've set up the choice board is what they see is like the title and the speaker as a hyperlink to a PDF. And then they see the box of a video because yeah. like, and some of the speeches on here is like Andrew Jackson. So sure. It's obviously an impersonator or like, yeah, like the Gettysburg Address is a Lincoln impersonator, but they still see that they can watch a video and there's a visual aspect to it. Of the speaker, and then there's something about the intonation of voice that helps with all of the different pieces of breaking down argument, because that's what we're doing with rhetorical analysis, especially at this point in the game with my classes, is we're breaking down what is being conveyed and how it's being conveyed. And so the power of actual voice paired with the words, paired with the visual, if our students are able to access all of those different points of like input, yes. it's the most powerful way to do it, I'm finding. Since I've started talking about speeches, why don't I just run through the last few yes. that I have? So on the same choice board, which I realized we forgot to mention earlier, if you head to the show notes, we actually have this whole choice board. It's called like our American Leader Speeches Choice Board. By the time that you see this link, maybe we will have come up with a better name for it, but here you go. And it's a whole activity with 20 different speeches by American leaders that students can choose from. And then there's a rhetorical analysis and a compare and contrast of the arguments activity that goes along with it that creates a lot of room for discussion and analysis, and you can do a lot with it. We will have that linked for you in the show notes. But some of the other female and women that I, females, women, those who identify as female is what I'm including in women on this board are, I already said Gloria Steinem, her testimony before the Senate on the ERA. I have got Hillary Clinton, as I said. I have got Amanda Gorman performing The Hill We Climb. I've got Ruth Bader Ginsburg at the Women's Health Research Dinner. She gave a speech. Coretta Scott King, the Class Day of 68 speech. Barbara Bush at Wellesley College. Laverne Cox speaking at the Spark Gala. And so what's cool about these, as you could hear, they are, what I like the most about it is that it's from all different time periods. Like I'm all over the place. I am still looking for, there are a couple that I could swap out. I would like to find a good recording of some older speeches from like yeah. more historical, but I know this is going to come as a shock to everybody. It's very hard to find speeches by women from earlier points in American history, because this is for my American Lit class, that have been actually recorded, not voice recorded, obviously, but like recorded, written down so that then I could find a voice recording or even just do one myself. That has been quite difficult. So in fact, as you are listening, friends, if you have a good idea, will you message us and I can add it to our choice board. But that is what I've got for right now. It's a good swath of belief systems and perspectives. And like I said, students were reacting to it very positively in like an open-minded way. So that's what I have got for right now. I'm on my like
for anything else.
Well, who could ask for anything more? I have got like, I'm definitely in my nonfiction era at the moment with my students, and that's where we're at.
That's a good era.
It's a good era. It's not one that I normally spend a lot of time in, but for right now, that's where we are.
the longer you linger there, I think the deeper it gets, and I really enjoy it. True. So, okay. So that's I'll true. Bridge over, I'll stick with nonfiction, and I want to talk about some filmmaking. If you, I believe I've talked about her in a lot of other capacities, but I have to give a really, like, this is, I think it's coming out soon. So Ava DuVernay, right? Ava DuVernay mm-hmm. is an incredible filmmaker. She has a brand new film coming out, and there's a couple of, like, if you Google or Google, if you look on YouTube for interviews, her new movie coming out is Origins, and it's the film adaptation of Isabel Wilkerson's Cast. So we've talked about Cast on this podcast, but like years ago. I feel like Cast I read in 2020. Did you ever read Cast?
No, I did not read it. I have it. Does that help?
Yes.
Does that make me sound legit?
Well, I guess now you can watch Origin because it's going to be really freaking powerful. And I don't know if it's released already or not. But anyway, her interviews talking about it are really incredible. She, as a filmmaker and director, is just incredible to study her story. She's done A Wrinkle in Time. She was in charge of the production of 13th, which is one that I've taught. I've taught the documentary 13th. Selma, that this is all ringing a bell. But she is fascinating, and her story about overcoming, I mean, the film industry is brutal for women, period. But like being in like the directorship, like that position is like it's still like breaking ground. So she is one to watch for sure. And I will link in the show notes the really recent TED Talk interview about Origins. Okay. Speaking of filmmakers, let's talk about Greta Gerwig. Right? Like, let's talk about her as, again, like another person in Hollywood who's doing the thing. We can talk about the nods, the shuns, the awards. We can also look at America Ferrera's speech in the Barbie movie.
Her monologue,
so good. Another really interesting angle. And again, like especially these two, I'm kind of pivoting a little bit from Marie because this is extremely current, right? This is like happening right now. So I love that too. And again, like that's kind of what's so cool about nonfiction is it's happening. It's happening. Mm-hmm. So I will link stuff about them in the show notes for you all, because that's definitely worth a conversation. And this, I think this episode would pair really well. We should also link our episodes about supplementary texts. Cause I think when I listen to an episode like this,
I agree.
Right. Like these again, like they might not be the nod that you want, that you have time or that feels right in this current month. And that's okay. But maybe as you're listening, you're like, ooh, I do think that this speaks to Lady Macbeth. And I really want to circle back to the Barbie monologue when we read Lady Macbeth. Or I really want to circle back to Persephone when we're studying, you know, A Raisin in the Sun. I don't know. So that's that. My final poem recommendation, because I can't leave this space without recommending another poem, is Maya Angelou's Phenomenal Woman. My heart. So the video that I'm linking was actually the inspiration for an all school activity that we did right before, actually, like, I mean, days before COVID in 2022.
Oh my gosh.
And what we did with Phenomenal Woman is we actually broke it up into a script, and we invited every single female identifying person in our building to read a line. And we made a film of Phenomenal Woman. And so everyone had to memorize their line, and we basically performed it as a school, and then made a video of it on YouTube. And then we sent it out, and it went out in the announcements, and it was really cool, like all school activity for March. And Phenomenal Woman is perfect for it. So, Maya Angelou has so many others, of course, but that's a great one for Women's History Month.
That is so cool.
It was so cute. It was so cute. And I would share it, but I'm pretty sure it's private and it's got, you know, all kids. It's old now, but.
Right. Yeah, they're all grown ups, but yeah.
Well, the one that I'm linking is, you can get the gist. And I think maybe I can even link our script, because I've got to have that somewhere. The way that we broke it into parts.
Oh yeah. The breakdown. Yeah.
Yeah. While you wrap things up, Marie, I'm going to look for that so that people know whether or not it's going to be there.
Okay. 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 Well, of course, as Amanda has the good. I'm glad you had it. Yep. If you, like I said at the very beginning of this episode, if you are not on our email list, I would say make yourself a little note to get onto our email list, because we always email out the show notes for each month. We've also got, so this is going to be like chock full of links, and now you've got a direct line to it. The choice board, like I said, with the rhetorical analysis, activity, and you can compare and contrast two different speeches to see which is a stronger argument is what it's for once you've analyzed two different arguments. Those are available on shop.bravenewteaching.com. We'll have them linked in the show notes. Basically, we just want to use this as like a, here's what we're really loving right now. It's Women's History Month, so let's shout out to some different female voices. But also, like, it's okay to just do one-off things sometimes too. Like you absolutely include diverse voices into your curriculum all year round, but also it's okay to be like, you know what it is right now? It's Women's History Month. Let's go ahead and just like look at a few different voices or one voice today that's got a different perspective and it happens to be a woman. Like, I think that that is something that I always shy away from in my classroom, because I'm like, oh, it's not going to make sense. It's not going to, and that's okay. Kids are flexible. They're going to be okay. If you say, we're pressing pause on what we're doing and going to the side to do this right now,
they might be grateful.
They might, yeah. Like, it might be the reset that everybody needs. But, like, I myself have a hard time doing that. So I feel like I, more than anybody, need the, like, okay to go ahead and do it. And then here it is for everybody else as well. The okay that you didn't ask for, here it is.
It's here.
It's here. Here it is.
Okay. Script is in the show notes.
It's okay. Official. There you have it.
And the permission slip. So the permission slip is also there.
Oh, well, that's good.
We double checked that parents were cool with us, like, you know, putting it on YouTube and their name being in the credits. Okay. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Well,
it was really fun. It was a really,
I'm excited. Yeah. Well, I get to see the video because it's, I'm not the public, right?
No, you're not. I'll share.
You'll show me. Yeah, that's okay. All right.
So she was actually in it. She was a baby. If she came to school.
Oh my gosh. Stop. Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, friends, we hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week at school. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy Women's History Month. Hooray. And we will see you next time.
Bye. Thanks again for listening to Brave New Teaching.
We'd love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram.
And while you're there, check out the links in our bio for the most up-to-date events going on in the Brave New Teaching community.
Thanks for being here and have a great week at school.